Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That is a commercial from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We really appreciate them letting us use their commercial. Anyway, good evening once again, everybody. Today is April 7th, 2021. You're listening to Face Us Radio, the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio, The Inside Scoop. I am Luann Fleming, and I am with my other co-host tonight. Let's see who we've got on here. I know Hillary Hogue is with us. Hillary, are you with us tonight?
I am definitely with you, and good evening, everybody. Thank you for listening to the show. Things are happening, and we are we are fighting for guardianship reform and fighting to get people out of guardianship, as well as educating and making the American public aware of what crimes are being committed in probate guardianship court throughout the country. So thanks for joining us.
Exactly. We also have on with us tonight, I think we have Robin Austin on with us. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, I am, and very happy to be here. Lots going on in the world of dealing with probate abuse, so I'm eager to be here tonight.
Good, good. Boy, and I think Marcy Friedman will be coming in later on. I will check with her to see. Anyway, we also got a really full radio show tonight once again. So we're going to try not to speak over anyone, and because all of our radio shows are archived and they're recorded, so we want to make sure we do that. And then we'll be taking calls in about 40 minutes or so, maybe 45 minutes. And then, let's see, and the number you do that is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. Okay, 845-241-9962, you press a 1, and then you can ask a question or a comment. But let me tell you a little bit about our show tonight, but I also have a lot of other stuff to talk about. Maybe I'll talk about that first. So today I got to say something that I'm really impressed with. I had Channel 7 News actually gave me an interview for 2 hours today. They're going to be doing an exclusive here in Colorado about the guardianship abuse and everything that's going on in our probate courts. And next Wednesday, they're actually going to be taping me, and with the news cameras are going to be coming in, taping me while I do our radio shows. So this is kind of exciting that they're finally paying attention, so I just wanted to let everybody know that.
Definitely.
So that's good news. And then we also were up on the Supreme Court yesterday. Robin Austin and I were on there with another lady named Kathleen Grisby. We were on there talking at the Supreme Court yesterday. So that happened. Oh, my gosh, we have so much going on. Anything else, Robin? I have a whole list of them, but I misplaced it with all the commotion that I went through today.
Well, there's the upcoming symposium is being sponsored by Dr. Sam Sugar and AAAPG, and we are a couple of the featured speakers. There's some excellent information that's going to be released at that. It's a two-day event, and I believe that's the 16th and 17th of this month, just a week away, I guess. And
right.
So
yeah, and I'll
up.
Go ahead and talk. I'll go ahead and talk about that right now, Robin. So just hold on a second. So we're going to be introducing some of the speakers for the virtual 2021 AAAPG Guardianship Symposium. And that's going to be sponsored by Dr. Sam Sugar. But we also have on there 24 different people that are going to be coming on, and you could go to his website right now and get free tickets, okay? If you're having issues, come to me, and I could try to help you with that. I haven't really checked into that. I haven't had time, but let me know, okay? So tonight we're going to be having Julie Belshian, and her parents were kidnapped into an abusive guardianship in Las Vegas on the movie The Guardian. And she has a movie called The Guardian, so that's really good news. Then we also have Joanne Bugalis, forced to escape from America with her mom, and several other guests are probably going to be coming on as well. I left that open, so if anybody's listening and you're on that panel, please call us and come on to the radio show. I didn't have time to do a complete write-up of the whole show because of all this other stuff that's been going on. Anyway, this symposium we're doing is going to be featured over 24 highly experienced speakers with their own personal and professional perspectives on the problem of guardianship abuse. The webinar brings together a variety of leaders from TV and radio, legal practices, judicial reform, the Free Brittany movement. There's going to be victims and advocates bring on there with the community. So this is going to be a pretty big symposium, and please, whatever you can do to let them listen in on this. Okay, but I do have two of the victims or families, you can call them speakers, you can call them, you know, the victims that have been through this. Oh my gosh, this is just so incredible, their stories, that I wanted to bring them and talk to them personally. I'm going to bring Julie Belshian right now. Let me see if I can get her online here. Julie, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, good. You finally got
Hello?
In. Yeah. I hear you with us. Is everybody else here, Julie? Come on.
Yes. Good evening, Julie. Thanks for joining us. Good evening. Thank you for having me.
You're exactly welcome. And we also have, I also have another line open, and we have Joanne with us. Joanne, are you with us?
I'm here, yes. Hello, everybody.
Okay, good.
Hi,
good. So we
Joanne.
Have,
How
yeah.
Joanne.
I'm going to, yeah, thank you. I'm going to talk to,
welcome,
okay, yeah. So we're going to talk to Joanne first for a little bit, because I know that you're not in this state, and so you're going to be one of the speakers at the symposium, right?
Right. Well, I'm actually presenting with a video.
Okay,
so
you're going to be presenting with a video. Can you kind of tell us what happened in your story a little bit, so people understand, all of our listeners understand how big of a problem this is, you know, with the guardianship abuse, and basically talk a little bit about that, and a little bit what you're going to be producing at the symposium, and then I'm going to bring Julie Belshian on.
Okay. Well, I'm in my video, I kind of explain how we got where we got, and then, you know, where we are today. And so, basically, just a real quick overview. My mom was widowed in 2010, and my dad left her a multimillion-dollar estate. And by 2014, then she was a ward under a private for-profit guardian, and that was all based on family fighting and, you know, lawyers and doctors getting together and taking over basically her life and our entire family's life. And so within just 42 days of them taking over, they put my mom in an institution. I think from what I'm finding, that's kind of standard. Within the first 3 months, they're institutionalized for the most part. And there was just a series of events that happened that made it seem like this is normal for them. This is what they do. They're used to, you know, getting families isolated from their parents and kind of doing what they want to do. So anyway, she was institutionalized, and my mom actually had mild cognitive impairment, and they very quickly had her diagnosed with severe dementia by a OB doctor, family practitioner with an OB specialty, and they wouldn't allow any further testing. So that's how they got her into guardianship. But my mom still just had mild cognitive impairment, and so they institutionalized her. And the guardian said, well, it's going to be difficult because of your mom's cognitive abilities. And yet at the same time, he was sending us emails that she's got Alzheimer's. So that was, you know, it's all about labels and creating this picture of what really is not happening.
It is.
So you're walking in this world of unreality, and you're trying to do the right thing and take the right steps and figure out how to fix things, and then one day you realize that there's nothing you can do because you're not dealing with a normal system or a healthy system, and you're not dealing with – you're dealing with some criminal minds, I guess, is from my personal perspective. And so you come to realize that the law is not on your side, and we've reached out to everybody we could reach out to that was supposed to be there to help us, politicians and, you know, agencies and everything, and nothing was working. And so it came to a point, right or wrong, in my mind it became right. I had to take the law into my own hands, and my mom and I had to just get out of there because it became obvious that we were just sitting ducks, and I was going to lose my mom. And the day the Guardian told us that, because my mom, after we went to court and the judge decided that we were asking that my mom be able to come to her home, either live with me or at her home. And the judge decided that that wasn't going to happen and that I was unwilling to work with a professional. So then, therefore, I was the problem and my mother needed to be institutionalized. And my mom was overwhelmed. She said, I thought that, you know, the judge would understand and he would listen, and he didn't even let me testify, and he didn't. He said, well, she's incapacitated, so she can't testify, and she wanted to. So it's the same person that incapacitated her that said, well, that's the law. She's incapacitated. She can't testify. So it got to a point where my mom was so frustrated, she started calling the police from the facility. You know, I'd go and get her, and we'd go out to Walmart or whatever for a couple hours, and she'd be devastated the whole time. It wasn't fun for her, because then she had to go back, and when it was time to go back to the facility, she said, no, I'm going to call the police. They're going to help me. Somebody's going to help me. And so after three times of calling the police, the Guardian told the police officer that they said, we can't keep her in the facility because there's not a court order. So he said, I'm going to get a court order, and she's never going to leave the facility again because she's not acclimating. She'd already been there a year and a half and didn't acclimate because she wasn't severely demented. She was locked up. And like an animal, you know, just locked up, and she had a band on her hand like she was a cow or something, you know, so she couldn't escape. It was just horrible, horrible. And I would find her in the fetal position just crying, saying, this, you know, if this is my life, I want to die. And when we found out that the court wasn't going to help and nothing was going to work, and the Guardian told the police officer that he's going to get a court order so that she has to stay at the facility, and he told me I would never see her again, we had already talked about leaving if everything else didn't work. You know, we were going to do everything right, and if it didn't work, we're going to take it into our own hands. So we knew it came time that we had to leave. And the week before, I had tried to take her because she said, I'm not going back to the facility. So we were driving around town and, you know, talking to different people on the phone saying, oh, the FBI is going to be after you and you'll never see your mother again. And as soon as I heard that, you know, I talked her into going back into the facility. Mom, you have to please because, you know, we'll never see each other again. So then a week later, it just got to that point where we knew it was time to go. And so I don't know if I should go into the details of how we escaped. Probably not.
Your story is very powerful because you had to leave the United States. You know, and this is what I want our listeners to know, that this is a really, I call it spooky, I call it, you know, it's horrifying when you're going through this and people have your parents, even to the news stations. This is a horrifying time in your life, and you cannot believe your judicial system is not helping you. It's making things worse. So if you want to talk a little bit about that, how you felt when all that started to happen.
What? You feel helpless. You feel horrified, first of all, that this could be happening to you and to your parent, your family, and you're in disbelief that nobody is helping you. People that you're supposed to help you aren't helping you. and you're devastated because this is your parent, this is your family, and you're never going to see them again. It's like you're supposed to grieve their death while they're still alive, and that's what happens to a lot of people because they can't see their parent anymore. And I couldn't even fathom that. And I had people even tell me, because people believe that if the court makes the decision, then they must be right. And I've had people tell me, you know, just, you can't do anything about it. The court put your mom there, and so just go on and live your life. And I was just beside myself. I said, she is my life, and I'm her life. Mm-hmm. You can't tear it apart. That's not right. We couldn't function, you know, with that, just letting that go because it was so wrong. And when I would bring my mom back to the facility, I just have to tell you this, you could see in front of us, it looked like the sea, the ocean in front of us when I was bringing her back in the evening. And we would sit there and we would think, oh, my gosh, my mom would say, I want to go to Greece. I'm going to cry, you guys. I want to go to Greece. Yeah. It looks like the ocean. You know, and then I have to bring her back in this locked facility. And she's saying to me, why do I have to go and be locked up like this? And because she wasn't severely demented, she didn't need that kind of care. They overly restrict people because they want them locked up. They want to isolate them so they can take their money. That's the bottom line in these kind of guardianships.
And these are the stories that I want the newscasters here to hear about, you know, because we're going to be doing a live show next week with the newscaster is going to be here. You know, and this is what I go through every single week. But you know what? If we can help out any family like yours, or any family go through this, it's worth it. You know, because it's so hard to understand what goes on. But if we can help people get out of guardianship, like, you know, we've been doing out in Florida, it's been happening, getting people out of guardianship. It's not an easy thing to do. And like we're going to be talking to Julie Belshi here in a little bit, and she's going to talk a little bit about it. But sometimes us talking about it is painful. I mean, I still have a hard time talking about what happened to my family. I had to rehearse the whole thing today, you know, but you have to go through that. So I know that you had to leave and you had to go to Greece, and I know that you're not allowed to come back to the United States anymore, right?
No, we're not allowed. And the thing is, though, I want to say, you become so desperate that you're willing to take huge risks, and that's what we did. And because we either were going to stay there and leave things as they were, and I'd never see my mother again, or we were going to run and get caught, and I'd never see my mother again, or we were going to run and, you know, the gates of heaven would open, and here we are. So we were taking a huge risk. And we're so fortunate because if you look at other stories like Roger Hillegas, bless his heart, you know, he took his mother and they got caught and he never saw her again. I mean, it's devastating.
I know. Devastating. And you know what? To tell you the truth, I was actually going to kidnap my own mother. I had plans with my family. Well, some of my sisters were like, how are we going to get mom back? And we talked about it. We're like, can you believe we're even talking about kidnapping our own mother back? You know, but thank God we were able to go in there and get my mom out. And, you know, thank God we were able to talk about it. And thank God I was with my mom. But every time I hear your story, I just get really cooped up inside because I know that there's other family members. And I'm happy for you and your mom. I mean, I get off the show and I'm happy for what happened to you, but the other mothers, like Roger Hillegas, it kills me still. And just recently, I've had three new families that come to me where they are isolating their parents right now, and they're locked up in a nursing facility where they don't even know anybody. This is just so wrong. You know, it kills me to say that, too.
My mom would say that. She said, I don't know these people. They're not, you know, the people. When she was put in the facility, she said, they're not my family. She said, my mom was she was an immigrant, so she was very much into her traditional Greek, you know, lifestyle. And so to be put out with people she doesn't know when she's, you know, she wants to be with her family, it was really hard. It was like a culture shock for her because she really, truly lived the Greek lifestyle, even though she was in America for 50 years. So, you know, to then go in a facility where they're serving hot dogs instead of, you know, baklava or whatever. Just a total culture shock. And they talk about people with dementia needing to be in the same, you know, same place. And they're the ones that create the problems for them because they should be left in their homes then, right? Instead of being thrown in a facility with people they don't know and in a room for the rest of their lives. My mom used to sit by the window in her room and she'd say, why can't I go for a walk? Why can't I feel the sun? You know, and you're sitting there listening to your parent and you're just devastated and there's nothing you can do. It's horrible, horrible feeling. And what they're doing to families is horrific. They're not protecting families. They're destroying families.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I just, I want to point out, go ahead.
Sorry, Joanna. And, you know, as you said, that people who are put into facilities are surrounded by strangers, and I always say, who better to love a loved one than someone that loves them? And, you know, everything in probate, guardianship, court, they lie in the interest of the ward. And these are elderly people, 70s, 80s, 90s, and besides losing their spouse, I am sure that this situation with the guardianship is the most traumatic situation that they, your mother, and most people have been through in their entire lives.
Yeah,
it is
absolutely
barbaric.
Right.
You know,
Go ahead.
The thing with my mother is that they said that she was not capable of living in the community or living in her home. For the last 5 years, she's been living in the community, in her own home, socializing, doing everything that, you know, normal people do. And they said she couldn't do that. She'd be restricted in a facility.
Yeah.
So that's proof, number one, that was
a
lie.
They also say that they're saying that your child is not able to take care of you. When I did that for my mother for like 40 years, I took care of my mom my whole life. And they're telling another family that they have to remove the mom because the daughter is abusing the mother. She's lived there for 2 or 3 years and nothing's ever happened. So you know it's all lies to get these people out of their home to sell their properties and stuff. So we know that's the reason now. You know what?
And
I'm going to leave this.
It's so damaging
that they
to the ward.
Go ahead.
It's so damaging to the ward because even my mom, even 5 years later, she's so attached to me. She has such a fear of abandonment. And I'm sure Julie could speak to this, too, with her parents. What they do to them, they have this huge fear of abandonment. And she's just, you know, right on my hip all day long. And she just has this fear that somebody's going to hurt her because, you know, are they going to separate you? And she keeps saying, you know, you left me for a long time. She still remembers that when they isolated us from each other. You left me for a long time, and that so affected her that, I mean, she can't be without me.
Yeah.
And even doctors here.
She's not here no more in the country, you know, because that would be happening too. And that's like our next guest that I definitely want to bring on and bring her into this conversation right now. And then we're gonna talk between the two of you because your stories are so much alike, you know, with the parents being involved. But Julie had to face all this in Las Vegas. So let's bring Julie on right now. Julie Belshi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Luann, also for acknowledge what a great job you're doing and giving our families and the people that, you know, are taken and become wards. They have no voice. And you're able to educate people. And I just really commend you and doing this. I know, like you were saying, it's just like it's still hard to talk about. It happened to my parents in 2013. They were kidnapped from their home, and I lived 15 minutes away from them, and I had plans with them. And it just is, you know, it changes your DNA. I couldn't, you know, just turn my cheek and walk away. I didn't know where they were. And it's just, it's actually, it should be illegal. These ex parte hearings have to be stopped. They need to, state by state, federally, they need to give the family members a 30-day notice so that they can respond. My worry, I wake up every morning and I think these poor people that have nobody, they just actually get erased from our society. It's like a free-for-all. And, you know, our elderly population is growing tremendously. So it's very frightening and so disheartening. I can totally relate. I'm sorry, was it Jan?
Joanne,
I can totally relate to what you're saying. My parents, once we did get them out of the guardianship, one night my father was packing a suitcase, and I'm like, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And he's like, "She's coming. She's coming. We have to leave." They get so institutionalized, and they, you know, I call it Stockholm syndrome. They were so fearful. Is somebody home? You know, I have, you know, three young men, my sons that are in the house, and my husband. So somebody was always home. Thank God. That would be the first thing. I'm going out to the store, you know, do you guys want to come with me? Usually it was no. Okay, I'll go. I'll be right back. Is somebody home with me? They are fearful. The knock on the doorbell ringing, the dog barking. Who's here? Who's here? Even when they were going into the hospital and they got sick, you know, I remember my mom, God rest her soul, you know, when she passed away July 10th, almost, let's see, 2 years or 3 years, I can't remember right now, but she went to the hospital and she was cancer ridden from head to toe. And we had just rifled the lymphoma, the leukemia out of her body. And this nurse comes into the emergency room and starts to do this mini mental on her and say, "Oh, Randy, you know, who's the president of the United States and such and such?" Yeah. And she was trying to do this. And I politely took her outside and I said, "You are going to put on her chart, there will be no mini mentals." I mean, my mother literally died 10 days later, and they want to know what she knows mentally. And it's happening in the hospitals and in these rehabs where they put them in afterwards. When my father had an open wound in his leg, that was a huge open wound. He had a cancer removal, got infected, and the home health care nurse had to come in here 3 times a week. My husband was like, "They're not coming in the house," you know, because you get just so frightened that, you know, they're going to do something again. And I remember he was like, my dad was, you know, as sick as he got, and he also passed away. He just was like, "Don't let me go to the hospital again. I don't want to go there." And I just remember the look in his eyes the last time. And I knew it was like the last time, because he had aspiration pneumonia and a UTI. And then he was able to return home for 5 days. And it just got progressively worse. And I had people coming into our house. It creates this whole entire, your being, your spirit, everything changes. You no longer trust people. Yeah. And it's sad. It's very sad. Yeah. Because it's a family affair. And I tell people that all the time, because it doesn't just affect, you know, my mom and dad, who were the victims of it, but then, you know, they lived with us for a couple of years. It affected all of us because, you know, my kids were like, you know, Poppy, you want, you know, a protein shake? You want this? Come on, Poppy, you got to get outside. You got to get, you know, the color and, you know, what have you. You got to get in the pool. You got to get exercise. They literally take them and they're just warehousing them. And these corrupt guardianships. And it goes, I've told you this before, it goes all the way up. What I mean by that is it goes all the way up to the White House, the politicians, the lobbyists behind the medical companies, the ones that own the assisted living facilities. This mm-hmm. is a extremely lucrative business. And they look at them as numbers, and then they just prey on if there's any kind of dysfunction in the family, and it's, you know, I say there's nothing family about family court or, you know, probate. There's nothing about it. It's just, you know, like you were saying, man, it's just like it's hard still to talk about because it is just like right underneath my skin. You know, it's just right there. You can't shower this off. It's like you've been raped. Yeah. Because who would ever believe that in the United States that somebody could just come in and do this and it's legal?
Yeah. You know, I've talked to the Supreme Court yesterday. I've told them, you know, about the Carolina movie. How could this be happening? I've talked to news stations. I've talked to everybody. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I still can't believe it's going on. It's like the legislators haven't done anything. The Supreme Court doesn't do anything. Nobody does anything.
Because
and how
our hands
can they
are
rest?
Tied behind their back.
Right.
It's almost like they're appeasing us. And we want to work with them. I want to work with our government, and let's get some solutions. Let's get in there and train people and let them know that, you know, there are red flags, you know, and there should be, and, you know, we all have human rights. You know, if it happened to one of their relatives, you know, as I do, guess what? They would be out in 1 second. They wouldn't have to go through the hell that we all had to go through. Mm-hmm. It just infuriates me because, you know, I run a national helpline for Case and Cares for the last 5 years. Well,
right.
You know, I can't give advice. I can't give legal advice. I can look at things and, you know, things pop out at me when they send me documents because I know they're verbiage and they turn it around. And it's always the family. The family's always so bad people. You know, they're so horrible.
Yeah.
They could never live there.
Yeah, they're always
they're
bad.
They're so busy. Yeah. We're just so terrible, you know.
So hold on a second. So you work mm-hmm. with Carrie Kasem, right? And you have a hotline, right, that people can
Correct.
Call into? So how
yes,
many phone
I can.
Calls do you get with? Is it, like, busy? I mean, how do that?
It's pretty busy. Around the holidays, it gets really busy because people start to really, you know, reflect and want to be with their family. And, of course, we see these Hallmark commercials, and, you know, you have that beautiful family, the perfect family sitting around, and they're all eating, you know, their Thanksgiving or their Christmas dinner. And I'm like, oh, my God, makes me want to throw up, you know. You know, because in the real world, this is not happening. You know, I had to, you know, beg and plead, you know, to go and be with my parents. And, you know, then once an investigation started with April Parks, you know, she really didn't want to, you know, let me parents. In fact, I had to send my sister-in-law over there to guard them one day when I had to be somewhere else when I was very close to getting them out. And I also had to have two police cars, you know, around the corner because I knew I was that close to getting them. Even when I handed the director a legal document stating that my parents were released and out of the guardianship, she patted me on the hand and she said, oh, I'm going to call April. You can't move them. While my husband and my kids were actually going down the hallway with dollies and moving them. I'm like, good for you. Thank you for what you did. And we're leaving. We're going. And, you know, Joanne, I had actually certain people send me diagrams of where they were moved. Mm-hmm. They moved my parents supposedly from an assisted living that was an hour away. They moved them like 3 or 4 miles closer to my home.
Right.
And she said, I'm doing this, you know, so they could be closer to you. So on that day, I went to the assisted living facility in Boulder City where they were, and they had already left. And so one of her assistants was like, oh, they're gone. Who are you? The daughter? Like, we're pieces of crap. And I'm
right.
like, yeah, I'm their daughter. What did you do? My parents wake up at like 10, you know, they're older. What did you do? Just, you know, don't you usually like move their things over there, get them acclimated to where they're going, let them, you know, relax. So they had boxes on both sides of the room and there was like a little pathway and there were some mm-hmm. Hispanic workers that were helping move and, and this woman like brushes shoulders with me and she turned around and she said, if you hit me again, I'm going to call the police. Mm-hmm. And I said, and my husband was like, what are you talking about? Like, I am not like a tough ass, excuse my language. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go beat people up. I'm like, I've never been in a physical fight in my life. And I'm like, okay, so we go downstairs. There were 3 police cars there. This is the type of control that this private guardian, April Parks, had, and I in the public guardians here, and I still believe it's going on here because I, you know, people are like, oh, I saw the guardians, and they'll reach out to me, and they'll be like, you know, I'm trying to get my daughter out. I'm trying to get my mother out. I'm trying to get my stepmom out. How can I do this? So long story short, we drive to the assisted living facility where they were moved. And the police officers at the other place said, Julie, you know, do you need anything? I said, no, I don't need anything. But I turned around and I told her assistant, I said, you know, you're going to hell. You are going to hell. What you're doing is wrong. And we walked out. I cried for the whole 45 minutes to the place. My husband said, don't let her see a tear. I guarantee you she's going to walk in here, the private guardian. So I went and I asked, you know, where my parents were, could we please see them? Because my dad had requested, you know, I was there. And I just wanted to hug them and give them a kiss and say, you know, it's okay. Now we're closer. We can go and I can take you out to lunch. You can come to the house during the day. So wrong. April Parks walks in with Mark Simmons, her assistant, who used to illegally give people mini mentals because he said he was a specialist and he had this degree, which he never had. And they're standing over me. I'm sitting down waiting because the receptionist tells me, oh, we don't know where they are. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know where they are? She wouldn't take them to, like, the movies. She didn't take them to breakfast. Where are my parents? So I sat down and I waited and I was quiet. And all of a sudden she walks in and she stands over me like she's, you know, a teacher, a mother, I'm in trouble. Okay, she's just pointing her finger in my face, and she says, Julie, you're not going to see your parents today because you're too emotional. And then she went to my parents and told them there was a shindig and that your daughter won't be able to see you. She was trespassed. And then 4 cop cars pulled up there, and I went and stood outside, and I said, you're here for me. And they're like, what? And I said, yeah, you're here for me. And I explained what happened. And they're like, well, what does she look like? Like, you know, I explained the whole thing. And I said, she looks like Satan's mother. And they all started laughing. They're like, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in there. And, you know, they sent a rookie cop in there. And then they came back out and they trespassed me. And thank God my husband was with me. And he said, suck it up, because I was ready to just lose it. He said, do not give her the satisfaction of seeing you cry.
So Julie,
I was trespassed for 3 months.
Julie, hold on a second. So I want to tell our listeners right now that they took both same time.
Both of them, yes.
Both of them. And you're probably one of the biggest stories out there that had both parents taken at the same time, right?
Yeah, both my mom and my dad. They took
and
them from their home.
They took both of them.
Yep. Without any notification. I'm the only surviving daughter. I've lost both my brother and my sister. Sadly enough, and they took them, and I did not know where they were. There was no note on the door, no nothing. I was, you know, that day changed my entire life. My parents.
Yeah, your poor parents. I know. Gosh, rest their souls. I just love them too. And you know, I've heard this story for so long. And
thank
then
you.
All of a sudden, there's a movie out called The Guardians, which everybody was like, "Wow!" You know, and I watched that movie with a friend of mine, and we both were like, "Oh, I know her, and I know him, and I see them all the time."
Mm-hmm.
And there's April Park. The whole thing was just gut wrenching to me that they could actually come in and parents. Talk a little bit about that movie.
Well, Well, the movie shows, you know, basically how, you know, my parents were taken and other people were taken literally out of their homes by these ex parte hearings, not notifying their family members. And filming the movie was... thank God for my father. I miss him so much.
I know.
It's, you know, he just was so, he was so philosophical and so sweet, you know, and just always told me, you know, I wanted to do so much more for you and I'm so sorry this is what happened. And, you know, he blamed it on himself. And the movie was, it was difficult at times, you know, several times because just to relive it and to watch them go through it, it was mentally very exhausting. But I knew that I was blessed and I knew that because from the very beginning, that's all I wanted to do is warn my neighbor, warn people that if it could happen to me, I'm a housewife. I helped run my husband's business and have, you know, just children and just living a normal life. And all of a sudden, this just, you know, turned our world upside down. I thought, it can happen to me. It can happen to anybody. So I was literally laying around like a lunatic. And I can't blame people for not listening to me at the beginning because I could not wrap my mind around it. I was like, how in the world in America can people come into your home and take you?
Right.
And not
and these
family.
Are parents,
and
too. These are parents, you know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, and they carried so much of the guilt. You know, so the filming of the movie, my mom, she really didn't, you know, want to be in it that much because it was too painful for her. My father, you know, did a fantastic job. I mean, you know, he's got such charisma and I just, you know, everybody, I always told him, I'm like, Dad, you should have been an actor. You really should have been. You're just
hey,
so
Julie,
funny.
How long was your
your
parents gone? How long were they not with you or taken?
My parents were gone for 22 months. And it was the longest 22 minutes of my life. And we live, like, in the thick of it. When I say that, the doctor that was working with April Parks lives five houses down from me. And he, this doctor was giving my mother 13 medications three times a day where she could not move or barely open her eyes and had blood clots. When I got her home, she was in bad, bad, bad shape. And my father was not that much better. It took us going to, you know, other doctors, getting them on, you know, 2-3 medications, more homeopathic things, you know, and nurturing them back to health. She went from being in a wheelchair to walking within 6 months, lost 60 pounds. She was only 5 feet tall when we got her here. She was 185 pounds. And I just, it would be different, Luann, if I saw, like, they were being taken care of, and they were happy. They couldn't even, they're Jewish, and they couldn't even practice their religion. My dad wanted to go see a psychologist because he was all into that when I was young. He did, like, the psychoanalyst thing, and he was just into that. And he went to see a psychologist finally, but it was one of her psychologists. And he said, "But Jesus, what are, you know, who are these people? They're all, like, you know, Joanne, like, you're saying, like, these criminal-minded people. They're just sick in their heads."
Mm-hmm. And Joanne, you know, our other guest can really relate to this. Joanne, can you say something about this? Because I know you're probably sitting there thinking, I've been through this.
Oh, all of it, yeah. I can just, it's just ringing very familiar, all of it. Even, you know, the medications that they gave my mom, the Ativan and Seroquel, that could render you unconscious. And we got to Greece, and she didn't need any medication. The doctor determined that her symptoms were from severe trauma that she was experiencing.
Right.
She wasn't severely demented.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All of that.
You know, it's just, and these just, doctors, you know, and it's so hard because attorneys that were involved with representing April when she was indicted, you know, we said we were going to get gallons of justice, which we did get justice. I'm grateful, but, you know, as I do, it goes way over their heads. And, you know, the people that are still running it here are still running it here. And they've got their cottage industry, and they do quite well. I have a couple of them as my neighbors, and they, you know, the most frustrating part, you know, like what Joanne was saying, is like, you know, you go to all the right people. You're raised to think like these people are here to help you. I went to the DA, had two meetings. He acted like he did not know what I was talking about. He didn't even know the public guardian. He lied right to my face, and I ended up leaving, and I was shaking so hard in the car. And I actually think that's when I had my stroke. Because I couldn't believe that somebody in that position who could help me would be lying to me. I reached out to a couple of other people, the mayor, the ombudsman, this one, that one, APS. When I got off the phone with APS, they said, "Oh, thank you, Julie, so much for speaking with me. You know, I've learned so much from you." And I'm like, I hung up and I'm like, what? Like, I need help. Yeah. I need help. I want to get my parents out. And,
so did you,
you know,
just say,
and
Julie,
I'm
that
very, very.
Oh, on a second.
Yeah.
So, Julie, did you just say that you had a stroke?
I did.
Or
I did.
You did.
I had a stroke. My husband had a heart attack. My youngest son one of the lieutenant governor here. He's very, very, he contributes a lot of money to the football program. My son, when he started freshman year, was varsity football, varsity wrestling. And when the first interview aired with Darcy Spears, my son was sitting on the bench the whole time. This is a kid that's the quarterback, the running back, you know, that he's in his element. He loves it, you know. And his A's and B's went to D's and F's. I took him out of the school. I went down onto the football field, and I got in the coaches' faces, and I told them, shame on you, shame on you. You will not do this to my son. And this was, my son was really good friends with his son. We went to, you know, the FBI 8 times. We got in 2 times with reports that I stated in there that this will probably go nowhere because, you know, of all the involvement of the different people here that run Nevada.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh,
and
oh my
it's
God,
really
my heart
just here.
Hurting for your family. Yeah, you know, I'm just sitting here hurting for your family and you, you know, and I know how it feels to go through all this. So painful.
I know you do, Leanne. And then, you know, and then the loss of your mom, you know, I'm so sorry. And I know when we lost my mom, I just know that it was the stress because she had fought cancer for 25 years. And she had, you know, had gone in remission. And I know this just stressed her out so much that, you know, even though we made it as comfortable as possible here, and I always made these beautiful dinners every night, I cooked for an army, and I just wanted to let them know how much they were loved, and that part I'm just so grateful for, because, you know, a lot of their friends and people that I became very close with in the assisted living facilities that they were in are gone. And, you know, April Parks, she is now appealing her sentence. And I got a chance 2 weeks ago to see this, you know, to see this or it or whatever you want to call her. And my blood was boiling. I didn't realize how it would affect me.
Oh, my gosh.
I literally walked behind the screen, Luann. I was like, I can't, because, you know, you can't make expressions. You're on Zoom.
Oh.
And my blood was boiling. It took me 4 hours to calm down because she's the same.
Yeah.
The same.
You know, you don't want those kind of back out into society to hurt our families anymore. And you know that's the kind of business she's going to go back in and do. I can't believe she's filing for an appeal.
If not already.
This blows my mind. I mean, America needs to be pissed off listening to this radio show tonight and start doing something about what's going on. I mean, to me, I'm sitting here listening to your story and Joanne's story, and we also have our hosts on tonight. Hillary got her dad out of guardianship. I got my mom out of guardianship. You got both of your parents.
Thank God.
Look at what we to go through. And we also have Joanne on here that had to leave the United States to get her mom. But I would have done that too. I would have done that too as well.
I would have done that too. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a friend that's a judge here, and he said, I can't believe you still live here. Well, where am I going to run to? You know, really?
Right.
This happens everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
As much as I'd like to run to somewhere, you know.
We had a guest on last week. Hillary, are you still with us? And Robin, I think we had a guest on where they actually ran to, was it Ireland? Yeah. And I tell you, they ran to Ireland.
A huge
panelist of people coming on where they all have some really good stories that are happening during the symposium next week. And that starts on Sunday and Monday, everybody. You know, and so talk about a little bit, please. Talk about why this symposium is so important to families, you know? It is important.
It's so important because it can, okay, it's not, okay, so even though, you know, we have the elder cause, right? That's the elder abuse cause is what we've all taken on. It happens to disabled, it happens to children, and it can happen to me or you.
Yeah.
I read a story of somebody who was up skiing. He was like 20 years old. By the time he got to the hospital, the social workers were there, and they were making crucial medical decisions. His parents, it took them 7 hours to drive there. They were told they had no right. And that's another thing that needs to be done here in the United States, is that when you go to the hospital, you have at least three people that you would choose as your guardian. God forbid you're in an accident or something happens. Life happens.
Yes.
It doesn't just happen to the elderly. And you know they profit from it. I mean, more than ever in the last 2 years, I've had more people come to me that are mothers fighting for their kids. And it takes it to a whole other level for me because I have three boys. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And they're profiting immensely, making, you know, millions of dollars a child and using them as guinea pigs. Trial drugs on them, and their poor parents have gone almost bankrupt. I have some people I talk to, they live in their car fighting for their child. So
yeah.
The symposium is crucial for people to listen to because people think, oh, okay, I have my legal documents in order and I have money. I have money. I don't need to listen to your story. Oh,
right.
Great. I'm glad for you. But
we need to know that
our constitutional rights and our civil rights are not being, they're not being acknowledged in the court. And if they are, it's costing us, you know, our home, our car, and we're homeless by that time because they have endless funds to fight us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for, you know, for your family and your friends to listen to the symposium because, you know, we all have different stories, but the formulas are basically the same. They isolate, they over-medicate them, they steal the estate, and then with this guardian, I say they cremate. Well, you know, what better way? And then if you're alone, you really need to figure out who you trust and who you want to be there if something bad happens to you.
Yeah. And you know what? And I'm going to be talking on that at the symposium about the trust and the wills and why a lot of them do not hold up in the courts at all. I mean, we had a trust, an irrevocable trust that didn't do us a damn bit of good. It didn't do us any good at all. So I draw the line on a trust.
Horrible.
And you can do wills. You can do all that. But everybody needs to keep in mind that these will not protect you 100% in court. They will not.
No.
So they have to go in there.
Exactly.
Bear that in mind because I was shocked when ours didn't hold up. I was like, we have a trust. It's going to, you know, it's going to hold up. And my sister comes to me and she goes, what happens if they tell us you're going to get screwed and you're screwed? And I said, they're not going to do that. I have all the information I need. We're going to be good in the courts. And I was shocked when they gave our trust over to a public administrator. I was in shock. How did that happen? I mean, I was like, oh, my God, that had like 125 antique cars. It had, you know, 2.5 acres of land. We had a Denver home. We had Aurora homes.
And
we had all kinds of property.
And that's why it happened, because it's beyond greed. It's their power, and they don't care. We're numbers. You know,
yeah.
As much as
I
believe that we are the light workers. We are the people to shine the light on this. And to let people know this, and that's, you know, what wakes me up in the morning. You know, I can't, and then, you know, to be able to talk to somebody and people say, oh, everybody knows about this because I'm right now in the process of writing a book about, you know, what this does in trying to help people so they can understand and not have to fall into this. Well, a lot of publishers are coming back and saying, oh, well, your story's already told. Or it's already well known. And then, no, not an interest. It's because we live in a very ageist society. You know, oh, keep younger, get Botox, do this, do that, or put mom and dad in a home. They'll be okay.
Yeah, it's a boy. Yeah.
You know, and then, the grace of God goes up. I hope we do get to be that much older because, you know, in the mini mental, they're not going to like what I'm going to write on it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Let him do it when we get done. Okay, go ahead.
And first and foremost, I'm so sorry about your parents. They died so – how many months apart did they die?
It was like a year and a half. What's my
–
thank you, Hillary.
I'm so
thank
sorry.
You. Yeah, it took a lot for me because I wanted my father – like, at first he bounced back and he started to do better. And then he just, like, would kiss my mom's picture and he would – you know, it was just – it was too much. 65 years of his life, you know, and he failed her. He failed her. And I kept saying, Daddy, you didn't fail her. And I had to keep his spirits up. So I never had really time to process that whole thing because I was trying to keep his morale up.
Right.
Well, I will
tell you, Julie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, and I'll be very brief. You know, of course, I'm in the same boat. You know, every day I get up with a purpose that I really never had until, unfortunately, my family was blindsided. But everyone that watches The Guardians, your father is who was mentioned.
Yeah.
Your father. Everyone says we're going to get him by the balls, this, that, and the other. He really is. He will go down, you know, in history as a fighter. And he loved you and your mother and your husband. But let me ask you a question. Do you know what happened to, I can't remember their name, the lady in The Guardians who got out, and remember, you're driving and you say, well, at least they didn't get your house.
Phyllis Moskowitz Crowe. Yes, I do.
Is she still alive?
I don't know whether she's alive. I did go out and my husband and I, were contacted and she needed help, so we went out there, and unfortunately she has full-blown dementia, didn't remember doing the movie, didn't remember anything, and on top of it, the very attorneys that are doing this, the Lee Drizin, the pieces of pieces of crap, they are now handling everything, and I was just it was sad. Yeah, very sad. Most of April Park's victims passed away. She owes them over $500,000, which is a joke to me because there's so many people, right? She now has this super attorney that is appellate attorney that she's using.
And
that was my question to the attorney general.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, how does she pay for this? Why is this not a priority for her to pay the victims' families? Because there's Marcy's Law. If something happens to us and we're gone, our parents have a right to go and fight for us or vice versa. They can still fight. Well, I was told that, well, maybe her mom, you know, paid for it. or maybe the taxpayers. I'm like, oh, the taxpayers don't, you know, would not be very happy to know they were paying $30,000 for her to obtain him and,
right.
you know,
plus,
and
plus,
fight
plus
for him.
Crazy.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And how about Julie? I'm sorry to cut you off. How about the other lady? The one, remember, that her mother was in a guardianship? The one who says, all I do now is smoke and eat.
Oh, Elizabeth?
I can't, honestly, I can't remember
her
name.
Yeah, that's Elizabeth. Yeah, that's Elizabeth Inzig. And she, and she's not doing very well at all. We talk all the time. Her dad and mom, you know, she was supposed to be left the house. And she has her own house, which she's losing right now. And she's in a very bad need. Her mother ended up in a state institution. And she did get her out of the guardianship. But get a load of this. She gets her out of the guardianship. And she's almost asleep one night. And in walks one of April Park's turned state witness, Heidi Kramer, in walks Heidi Kramer and tries to take the wedding ring off of her finger. Thank God her roommate was awake. And it was Hungarian. But she's passed. The majority of the people that were in the movie have passed. Adolfo wasn't in the movie, but played a huge part in it all. He passed away, and his caretaker passed away. You know, it takes a toll on you. You know that. I mean, it really does. I was taking care of my parents. My children came after because, you know, I had to make sure I got them to the doctors. Their meals were prepared at the end, you know, the diapers, everything you have to change. And people were like, well, why don't you just get help? Why don't you put them in a place? No. No, thank you.
Yeah. I can relate to everything everybody's talking about on here tonight. I really can.
Devastating.
You know, and to tell you the truth, it's kind of disturbing to know that, you know, people come in and they take one family member, but they took both of your parents, you know. I'm just trying to figure out why they would take two. Why, you know, two. I mean,
well, they took both my dad was at the time. My mom was she had chemoneuropathy from all the chemo, and she was in a wheelchair, and she was getting physical therapy. She could get herself around, and they had visiting angels, and they had different home health care people, but the whole thing was set up from the very beginning. The doctor that did this had set it up with the public guardian, who then gave it to the private guardian, and, you know, said they were unable to take care of themselves. They were both demented, which my father in no way was demented. Like, I had the attorney general, one of his attorneys who I am still in contact with, he told me, Julie, your father, people do not recuperate from dementia. Your dad never had dementia.
Yeah.
And, you know, she will go away, because at that time I was like looking, we were in the courtroom and it was like one of the final days, you know, whether she got her sentence or not. And I'm looking the other way and I just, you know, it's emotional, you know, it makes you so
emotional.
Sick to your stomach. You're like, you know, you're facing, you know, such a, you know, unsurmountable, it's like surreal. You know, that evil people like this. And I personally, and this might be wrong, but this is just my opinion, I believe that the government is aiding and abetting these people and allowing them to do this. And they are getting paid by these lobbyists because there's so much money for them. And they're such easy targets. And how many older people are alone. That's what really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
And they just
yeah.
are erased from our society.
Yeah, you know, and I've been working on some cases in Colorado, and it's a lot of these people are veterans, and I'm so upset over that, because the veterans have veteran nursing homes to go to. They don't have to go to a regular state nursing home that these people are putting them into. You know, and
right.
that racket in itself is the military men, and they come in and they swoop up all these what the military men have done with their families. And it's just like our generational transfer of wealth. You can't even give it to a family member anymore, because these people are actually being the heirs to the families. We're not the heirs.
Exactly.
They're the heirs. So, and it's,
you know,
and
I kind of, can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I just talked to a Minnesota attorney, actually quite prominent Minnesota attorney, and she told me that my mother, she already won because she's free. And she said, we all know about this, you know, what's going on, and it's happening to a lot of families, but she'll never receive financial benefit from her own estate. And she said, it'll go to the beneficiaries. And I said, no, it won't go to the beneficiaries. Obviously, you don't know the rest of the story, how this works. Because, like, in
right.
our case, you know, I'm kind of dig into this stuff, and it's hard to get information from the fiduciaries there, but anyway, I found out, like, in our case, there's four trusts, and those aren't reported. Money's coming from the trust, and it's going into this conservatorship account, and that's the only thing that's being reported. So we go from a $6 million, you know, estate, and we're only reporting right. that my mother's value is $600,000, so it's all, like, being hidden. And so what happens to that at the end, you know, she's gone and, oh, her estate's worth $600,000. So somehow they're figuring out ways to siphon all this money, and the judge approves these financial records, knowing that there's a whole bunch of stuff in the background. And so it's just, they just suck up your family.
It's
like
criminal.
You said,
it's
your
criminal.
Health. Everything, all the way down to the grandkids. Like you said, your son, your husband, your health. Horrible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a
family affair. And that was what, you know, they couldn't understand it. Because my parents, you know, throughout our life, they had money and then they didn't have money. Well, okay. So I forgot what I was going to say, but...
I've done that quite a few times.
Something
on my
like that.
What was I trying to say?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What really drove me so much when I remember, I didn't even know then who I was going to speak in front of, because I was, you know, I never really had to know, like, what the commissioner's jobs were, what, you know, the AG, the DA, what the ombudsman, you know, you find out quickly. So I remember I was going to speak in front of, commissioners, and I couldn't believe that their reaction was like they never knew it occurred, like, you know, this doesn't go on, you know, and it's just mind-blowing, because, you know, the transfer of wealth, they know who it's going to go to. It's going to go to them. And you know, this is something, even if you don't have money, that's what I wanted to tell you. I told them, I want the picture of my brother and my sister. I want my parents, you know, wedding album. You know, I don't care, like, all this, you know, things that you already sold and you walked in their house and took everything. You know, all the trinkets and all the things that we had from when we were young, I was like, you can't take that away from our family. My, that's like your children when they're growing up, you know, even if it's a little statue or something. Oh, that was Grandma Sally's, or that was Grandma Rennie's, or that was your grandfather's. I don't have very much of anything. Lucky enough to get a couple of pictures, but I have mostly like my Grandma Sally, my Grandma Evie. I have their parents' things, because they weren't you know, put into this. And I'm like, that is their, you know, that's their right. Like, as children, you know, you grow up and you have things in your home, so you feel part of society. How do you just take that from people? You cannot cut a heritage like that. And that's illegal.
Well, you know,
exactly.
It happens all the time. Quickly, story in Texas.
I know.
A man and a woman put in guardianship, you know, the BOGO, like your parents. The father
right.
died. The son, very, very nice family. The father was a, Tuskegee Airman, you know, the first black group of airmen in the military. And he drives by his father's home. His military uniforms are hanging. And the guardian sold his Medal of Freedom that he got from George
oh my
Bush,
God.
The Medal of Honor.
I mean,
that's a big thing. Jan Garwood doesn't know where her stuff is. You don't know where the extent of your parents' stuff is. And it's sentimental.
Oh, well,
sorry
to interrupt you. You know what they told me, Holly? They told me, well, you can look on the auction. When we finally got into the Attorney General, I said, well, where can I look? You know, like, doesn't the family get notified? Isn't that supposed to be legal? They put an ad in the paper, you know, that there's going to be a sale of the estate. And she said, well, you should start looking at the auction website. And I'm like, oh, my God. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you know, to tell you the truth, I have one family right now going through that right now. And you know what? I'm not even going to say who the family is, but I've got about five families right now that are being embezzled right now through the court system. And I am actually helping her store her things at my home of all the valuables to her family, trying to get some of them out. And it's very difficult because she's like, there's so much and I'm just going to cry, but I've been seeing all these pictures and I'm like, you can't replace those. So if I can even help out
right.
one family, if I can help out one family save their memorabilia
for
their family, I'll do it. You know, and that's what
that's
I've been doing
it.
All week besides doing
that.
You
are
you know?
Incredible. My hat's off to you. I mean, all of you on the phone because I used to walk around the house and tell my dad, he's like, you okay, honey? You okay? Because I would be walking on the phone and I'd be cursing. My mom would be like, Julie Lynn, you weren't raised to speak like that. I'm like, well, there's no other words for these people, you know. And, you know, I just, it's just, it's mind-boggling. It really is that they think there's no karma. There's no nothing to what they're doing. And they can just steal and kill. And it's legal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting to me, I tell you. I've been talking about this all day to Channel 7 News, and I've been talking to this to everybody. It's disgusting what we hear, and there's so many people going through it now, and it seems like it's even getting worse, which is...
it's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
I think it's the value that, you know, is not placed on family, because here in Greece, I think Greece should be used as a role model for guardianship, because...
Really?
Guardianship is so rare because, and the reason is because, and the judges believe this as well too, that there's this expectation and obligation that family takes care of family. So guardianship is only done when there's no other family and somebody
mm-hmm.
has, you know,
oh my God, that's
severe
what should
problem.
Be here.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
you can't
go
to court.
Is everybody going to have to go to Greece? I mean, I'm thinking about doing something
on
the
I'm willing. I'm willing. My best friend, she's from Greece, and one of my old best friends, and I've heard that about Greece, and I've also heard that about other folks, you know, and the world, and I just don't understand how you know, your parents or your loved one, how anybody
yeah.
could just say, well, I'm too busy, I have to go to work, I'm sorry you got taken, you know. It's just, you know, it's something that we continue to just tell you.
Yeah.
It's almost too late
you know,
when they come on the helpline. They're crying. and they're extremely, you know, upset and they're fighting and I'm like, do not fight because then it's easier for the court. You guys all have to be on the same page. Put your little pettiness aside now. You don't want it, you know, because all they're going to do is deny it and attack you, you know, and they're going to take all of your money.
Yeah, and that's a lot of people think that they're going to go to court and you know, get mad at their brothers and sisters. They're going to take them to court and they're going to get something out of it. They're not going to get nothing out of it. The attorneys are going to be the ones that get the money out of it.
Absolutely.
Think again,
and then you don't
everybody.
Know, like, and you don't even know if the attorneys, you know, which side they're really playing on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to say, besides the warrant for my arrest for, you know, helping my mom get to Greece, I can't come to the U.S., but even if I could come to the U.S., I really question whether I want to because I'm 100% disabled veteran. Okay, so I don't have a lot of money like my parents had, but I have my disability, and that makes me very vulnerable because all it takes is for me to go to one doctor who says, oh, she can't take care of her bills, she can't take care of herself, and before I know it, I'm in guardianship. Even though I just have a small paycheck, it's very lucrative because 50 of me makes a pretty good paycheck, right? 50 veterans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they veterans are targeted as well a lot from what I
understand. Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying.
I
couldn't believe it. We had one veteran. His name was, I have to ask my sisters what his name was, but it was Baker, Ed Baker. And he was put into guardianship, and he was take like $800,000 from him. Not only that, but they took all of his medals and threw them out. I mean, they took everything and they guardianized him. And he was a veteran. He could have gone to a different place after he had a stroke. They didn't have to do that. They were really brutal.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was. We had these free Ed Baker signs all over the neighborhood. I mean, everywhere. You know, we fought for this guy. We fought for him. His sister called me and said he passed away about 6 months ago. And I've actually had four or five people pass away that's been on our radio show. I'm telling their stories. So it's been just really hurtful to know that these people had to die to get out of the system. You know, that. I hate it.
You know what's sad is that there's so much research out there about isolating people. And there's a Harvard study. I think it's called on adult development, Harvard Study of Adult Development. And it talks about their finding of what makes people happy, and it's not wealth and all this. It's about the relationships and how powerful relationships are in a person's health. And that's exactly, you know, besides the fact that there's studies that show how important it is to be connected, that's exactly what guardianship does is it completely isolates people and destroys their health. And I just don't understand with the science and the studies and what we have out there, the knowledge that this is allowed to happen in guardianship with all the proof that it's bad for you.
So right now we're going to start taking phone calls from people. If anybody wants to call in that are our listeners, I'm going to do that right now. And I also think that we have Christine Morrison, I think, that will probably be calling in too. And if so, press A1 so I know it's you. She's also going to be another speaker, and I left the radio show open tonight to let other people that's going to be on the symposium call in if they wanted to talk a little bit why it's important for the symposium. But to call into the show, we're going to take phone numbers right now, and it's right now it is, let's see, 845-241-9962, and the phone number to call into the radio show is 845-241-9962. Press A1. And that will raise your hand, you know. And you can talk to Julie Belchy. She was with that movie, The Guardians. And these stories are just so powerful. And I'm looking for some really powerful stories to start off our show next Wednesday because I'm having Channel 7 going to be taping us.
That
while
is
we're doing
awesome.
This.
I'm so excited for you to get, you know, because this is the way that, you know, it's so damn hard you know, to get that media covered there. And, you know, they did jump on the Britney thing, but, you know, they really need to jump on the everyday people, you know, what they're having to go through, the hell, and the advocates, the hell they have to go through to help them, you know. So I really commend you on that. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, and you know what, it wasn't, I'm not even sure exactly, I think it was one of our other, I know what it was one of our other ladies that her father just died, and she was put into guardianship, her father, and she contacted Darcy Spears, in fact, and I think Darcy Spears turned us on to somebody out here in Colorado named Joe Vaccarelli, and I tell you what, this guy is amazing. He's from Channel 7 News. He's amazing out here. And,
you know,
I just wanted to
to interrupt you. Just point out that, you know, there's a lot going on in Michigan right now. And, you know, Gretchen Rachel Hammond, she's been covering this. She covered it. She spent a year down there. She, you know, got involved. She looked at Sam Sugar, what he was doing, and read about it, and she went down there. She faced a lot of brutality, a lot of, you know, bullying, and she wrote an amazing article and is in an investigation, shining the light on this and what's going on there. And she does, you know, take calls from people all the time about it. So, you know, hopefully something is heading in the right direction there. But I just, you know, wanted to mention her because she's, you know, heart and soul. She didn't need to do this. Look, none of us volunteered to be involved in this.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. I'm
going
to try to get her on to her. Yeah. I'm going to try to get her onto the show, too, pretty soon to talk about.
She's really, she's very brilliant.
Writing a book. I think the two of you writing a book. I also have a book, too, that I've been writing, too. I've got to get on that, but lately I haven't been able to do anything.
Yeah. In fact, we're writing a book, and today was a pretty good day. We got, finally, we've been doing this since August, two publishers have. Of course, I don't believe they're in the United States, but look like they're very interested. So, you know, I really just want to use this to elevate so we can all get our stories out there and people will listen and we can, you know, create this group of people where we can go and educate people together.
Yeah. Let's take in a caller. This, let me see who the 561 number is. You're on the air live, 561 area code.
Hi, it's Christine.
Okay, Christine, you're Christine Morrison, right?
Yes.
Good. You've got a book. You're going to be actually be another speaker at the symposium.
Right. Right.
Right.
I wrote the book Judicial Criminals, subtitle The Greatest Fraud Upon American Society, America's Legal System. My case took place for 15 years in the family court system in Michigan, and I can tell you that it is organized crime. There's no remedy at law, and what they do mirrors guardianship abuse. They literally take everything from you under color of law, and it's all illegal and criminal. It doesn't matter how many appeals you file, they're all dismissed.
Right.
And it goes all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
So are you going to be
on
the symposium, seen on the first panel or the second panel? Because it's for 2 days.
First.
It's actually, I'm going to talk about that right now. The symposium is coming out with AAPG Guardianship Symposium. It's virtual, by the way. And there's two sessions, and one is Sunday, April 11th, starting at 6 p.m., and then Monday, April 12th, starting at, I think it was at noon. Is it? No, at 9 a.m. So,
right.
I think I even crossed that off. I can't believe I did that. Okay, well, anyway, you know me, I'm trying to put shows together in a hurry. I'm sorry.
No, and
but
that
I think
will give families
Sunday.
A great chance to listen in and hear different walks of life. We all did not just create this. We all are completely different people. And this is a chance for people to understand, yes, it can happen to you. And you need to listen to every story so you can see the differences and the red flags so that you can prevent it happening from, God forbid, yourself or your family or friends.
Right. And I wanted to put in something here. My sister was put into the hospital about a month ago. She was really, really sick. And I'm not kidding you. When I was there, the social workers were coming in and asking her all kinds of questions. And my sister and I both look at them like, uh-oh, they're trying to guardianize me. But this happens. I mean, we're on top of it. And, you know, and I wouldn't even leave her alone in the hospital. But remember,
never.
If you're listening,
yeah,
please. Don't leave your loved ones alone in the hospital if you can afford not to. I was with my sister many hours of the day, and I wouldn't let them do anything.
And
for
you
her.
Can also establish that, you know, as far as you know what you're saying to your point. Even when they say, "Oh, they're going to go to a rehab," be very, very careful, because a lot of the administrators at these rehabs, if they're well money, they have good insurance, they call the social workers who could then go and put them in guardianship. So you've got to be very, very careful. You can refuse the mini mental as well. You can tell them, no, I'm not doing your mini mental. You just gave me a shot, you know, or I'm very sick right now. I want to FaceTime somebody or have them on the phone with me while you're doing this. And I had a girlfriend who was in the hospital with stomach surgery. And she refused it. She told them to get the hell out of her room.
Yeah.
And they did.
Good. Because you know what it is, Julie, I feel, and it was mentioned, I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of study. And people, no matter what age we are, they are intimidated by people in power, whether it's, you know, doctors, nurses, cops, lawyers, judges.
Oh, yeah.
And we're intimidated, and people have to, you know what, you're no better because you're a lawyer, whatever, and people have got to start to say, no, I want my friend, I want my sister, I want my mother. I mean, we know the deal. We know how it is.
We do.
People have to listen.
You know, and that happened to me again, when I had one of my best friends.
100%.
It was a very serious car accident, everybody. Listen to this. My best girlfriend was in a car accident. She broke both of her legs in it. At the hospital, they were trying to say that she was crazy and she tried to deliberately run into the trees. She tried to do all this.
Oh, my God.
I had to straighten all that out and say, look, she was just at a job. She turned the corner wrong. She went over the hill and she jumped into some trees. It's not because she's crazy or any of that. She's not trying to kill herself. This happens. So they were trying to make her sound like she was not in her best mind and all that, and they're like, Lorraine, I think they're trying to guardianize my mom. I said, you know they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another have to be careful. If it wasn't for me going down there
to
get her, she would have been guardianized.
They asked my dad when he was in the hospital at one point when it wasn't a serious condition a couple years back, and they asked him who was the president. He said, Donald Duck. And I started cracking up, and the nurse said, Donald Duck?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, quack, quack. Yeah. Stop it. Stop it. They're going to seriously, like, think now. The nurse started looking at him like he was, like, nuts. And I'm like, you guys have no sense of humor?
Oh, oh my gosh. So we've heard quite a bit of stories on this radio show, and nothing surprises me at all on these shows. I'm like, oh, my God.
Isn't that
the
sad
story?
Me either.
You know, so I want to talk a little bit about, so you're doing a book, Julie, with Gretchen Melcher Hammond, and then we also have, so Joanne was just mentioned to me that she has a website called Boogalist Guardianship. Is that what it's called, Joanne?
Well, if you do a search for Boogalist Guardianship, it'll come up.
Boogalist Guardianship. So she has a website there. And then Christine Morrison has a website too, right? Is it that you have a website?
Yes.
I'm trying to get my website up still. If anybody out there has any idea how to run a website, to put our FACES website back up out there, I would appreciate it because I don't have time to do all this.
I think,
but I'd like the website
yeah.
back up there, huh? Yeah.
I think that Doug Springs is really good at that.
Yeah, I still have to get that up, and I just can't do any more on my plate. So if anybody's listening,
well, you're doing a fantastic job. I commend you, Hillary. The same, you know, and Robin, you know.
Yeah, Robin, there somewhere. Are you there, Robin?
Important work.
No,
I'm
Robin's
here.
With
I'm
us.
Here.
We're all trying our best.
No, it's such
yeah.
important
like
work,
an order,
and I so. Really appreciate it. Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Yeah, you got it. And Robin, like I say, Robin and I have been doing these. Guess what? Next month for 5 years on this.
God
station.
Bless you.
Yeah, 5 years we've been doing it. And I remember a couple of times Robin and I were doing them from McDonald's. We were doing them from different places, different states. We were doing them wherever we went. We took our shows with us. But
mm-hmm.
we never knew that they were out to be these big. And I'm glad to actually, you know, be able to let people know, you know, about these shows. We have over 250 of them archived. I've actually had to take down about 15 or 20 of them because, you know, how attorneys are, they don't like anything going on. And I get, you know, things saying, this is not happening or whatever the incident is. I had to take
yeah.
down 15 or 20, which I don't mind. But we give this, we educate the public. We educate as many people as we can. We talk to many guests on. We've had people in guardianship. We've had people, we've had judges on. We've had attorneys on. We've had attorneys that were also being at a target as well when they tried to represent their clients. They're being pushed out of this by, like Leslie Federico, God bless her. She just did a video about how she's being sanctioned. God bless her. She's a hero in my eyes for putting up with
right,
a lot of this. A lot of people free. And she's still working on a lot of victims out there. And then we've had Sunny, another one. She's another attorney that was forced out, not in The Guardian, but some other things that she's been on her radio show. But we've heard a lot about these attorneys that are getting this also, and that's just not cool with us. Anyway, let's bring on a 773 number. You have a question or a comment?
Good evening. I have a question to Robin. My name is Aldona,
mm-hmm.
and my mom died in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I called a few shows ago.
Okay.
I have question to Robin because my mom was mixed up with another patient in first hospital where she went. She got
mm-hmm.
out after 4 days, so she had different name on her wrist. And we started thinking, so we did follow up with family. We took mom to Chicago
mm-hmm.
to her doctor, which is 4 hours away where
right.
I live. And in meantime, making long story short, mom ended up in 3 hospitals. Then they put guardian on mom. And so we lost basically all the power when it comes to mom. And I started questioning, was this mixed up cause the guardian? Was because they mixed up mom, they put guardian on us? It's a lot of questions. I don't know what it caused. We still don't know why.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. So what happened was they put a guardianship on your mom. Did they put guardianships on you or no?
They put something on my brother and me, but they knew only was 2 kids, but mom had 5 kids. And in the court, they should release mom to, you know, rest of the kids, but they didn't. They played like a
mm-hmm.
game. No papers, no report. And I think they closed the case a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I believe, or over a week. I didn't even open the paper because my mom died and I don't even believe
yeah.
what they put in the papers. They liars. My mom
yeah.
had no income. They used her only for insurance.
My God.
It's just, yes.
Yeah.
It's,
did this happen up in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Chicago, Illinois, and all that hot spot, and that's actually where my mother was born up there in Chicago. So what I could do is I could probably take down your number and one of the advocates can call you, because it's probably deeper than that, you know? And I'd be glad to talk to you more about it. I don't know when I could talk to you. I'm busy. But you really need to
call me.
Or can start reading everything and make sure that you start to understand what's going on. Okay.
Excuse me. Could you repeat the question, please?
I would just go ahead and start looking through your paperwork. I mean, I really can't give any legal advice because I'm not an attorney, but I would, you know, I can give my opinions, and I would just look through everything you can and start putting all the paperwork together in a book, trying to sort out everything that happened. That's what I had to do.
You know, we have a lot of proof. There is fabricated papers on mom, fabricated papers, because in first hospital, what it says in the papers and the when she went to Chicago, which is 10 days later, everything went south.
Yeah.
So it's like in the movie, I hear a lot that everything is fabricated. And when I go back with memory, probably they had eye on my mom from beginning in ER when I took her. They treated these people like they from the street, like walls and prisoners.
Yeah, they are. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take down your phone number, and I'm probably going to try to call you, you know, the next couple of days or so. And if I forget, don't say I didn't want to talk to you, because I'm just really, really busy. But I'd like to talk to you more about this. And I'm glad you called in, and I'm glad people are listening to the radio show. I'm really glad that people are calling in and starting to understand what's going on.
Yeah, and she can also, if you want, you can call on the KSM Cares helpline.
Yeah.
I can give you the phone number. It's 949-872.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Yeah, Julie, say that one more time.
Yes. I'm ready right now.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead,
okay.
Julie.
949-872-0658. Okay, I got
that,
it. Thank you.
Okay, so that's the Carrie Kasem hotline, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you guys for
Cares
doing
Foundation
this.
Foundation helpline.
Thank you guys for doing this. We learn a lot from our family, learn a lot from your show, and I'm also spreading the word all over wherever I can, so nobody will have to go through it.
Thank you.
Sorry about the loss of your mother.
Yeah, sorry about that. Oh my God. You know, and this is why I continue doing this. You know, you hear stories like this, and it's so heartbreaking, and a lot of people don't know what's going on. So I'm glad, Julie. So tell us, so how long have you been doing the Carrie Kasem hotline?
I've been with Kasem Cares Foundation for 5 years, and I've been involved with advocating 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's impressive, though. That's really impressive. And it's these kind of stories that we hear, isn't it, Julie? You know, and Hillary, you know, how people come on and say, thank you for doing these radio shows. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for alerting us. That's what keeps us going every day.
That's saving one life at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah, and I had my mom
educating people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When my mom passed away, I was asked by about 35 people if I was going to quit doing the radio shows, and I just sat there and said, no, I think this is probably one of my life missions, because once you're pulled into it in this strong of a way that I cannot let down any elderly people. I know, you know, I have this one, a couple ladies that have been calling me, and it really was upsetting because they were telling me about how they're not sure what's going on with them, but they don't have any access to their money. They didn't have any food. And I'm like, what's going on here? And they start reading to me these things that were going on with them. And I'm like, oh, my God, these people are guardianized. They didn't even know it. They had no idea. And I tried getting a hold of these people. I tried calling them back. And guess what? No, their phones were disconnected. I have no idea what happened to them. I'm pretty sure they were put into a guardian guardian eyes taken out, their phones gone, but it freaked me out. And I've been doing this ever since, trying to get these people, you know, to understand what's going on with them, you know. So, like I say, Julie and all of us have been impacted hugely of what's going on, and I'm not going to stop doing this. And Hillary, you've done a great, great work out there in Florida. I mean, you've been really to the radio show a couple of years ago through the radio show, and now you're probably one of the biggest advocates out there in Florida with Dr. Sam and Marcy. Marcy's been impacted very hard, and actually I was going to have Marcy on tonight, but she's exhausted. Today was like the anniversary of when her dad passed away, so she's like, you know, we wanted to say, Marcy, we love you, you know. We love your dad. We love everything that he did. He was he came from Cuba, you know, and he was, you know, he died, and their mom, you know, his wife is in guardianship, and they're not letting Marcy see her own mother. So to me, that's very upsetting why a family member would have to do that to another family member. Just let them see their mom, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? What's so hard about that? I don't understand that. Let people see their parents. It's one thing when they take your money, but it's another thing when they take your parents. You know, that's one thing my sister and I have been saying all day long, you know, what makes us really angry. So anyway, we've got about 13 minutes left of the radio show. So I really wanted to get out the word that about the symposium, and I think we've done a lot of work on getting this together, and I know Dr. Sam Sugar has done a phenomenal job putting this together. What is it that you guys want to see? And I'm going to start with Joanne. What is it that you want to see happen about guardianship abuse? What do you want to see?
For me, it's about not. Mm-hmm. It's about protections so that people don't get into guardianship, because there's so many unnecessary guardianships. So I think at the front end is where there's a huge problem. That people, anybody can go get guardian, be a guardian for anybody, literally. And that's really scary for me in the U.S., and I know there's other places that are like that too, but it's like you're a walking victim, and you just have to always look over your shoulder. And so I think there's not enough protections at the beginning where they can just, one doctor can just, you know, diagnose you, and then before you know it, you're in guardianship, and you have no rights. And not only that, but I think in guardianship, it needs to be completely redefined, because I don't care how disabled somebody is, they should still have a sense of autonomy, and they should still have some choices in their life, and they should still have some rights in their life. So because somebody has some dementia, that doesn't mean that they can't say, I want to live in my home with my family, and that doesn't mean that that right should be taken away. So
yeah,
guardians needs to be completely redefined. The fact that they take away all your rights, even what you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep and who you're going to see, that's not helping somebody. That's taking advantage of somebody. And so the whole thing needs to be redefined. And even here, like in Greece, where a judge, you can't just go in and say, I want an emergency guardianship, and he'll sign the paper, and then a whole family's life is over. It doesn't happen. The judge wants to know, is there any other family? You know, it's just not an easy thing. So I think that the politicians need to stop protecting each other. A lot of them are attorneys, and it's good old boy network, and they need to start helping the people that put them in their positions.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I could just jump in quickly, I had a meeting with Richard Prudham. He's the head of elder affairs in Florida, and Shante Jones. She's the bigwig for Office of Public and Professional Guardians. And I asked them both, have either of you ever attended an adult guardianship proceeding in the state of Florida? They both answered no. Have you ever met a ward of the state of Florida? They both said no. 99% of the people that are put into guardianships, whether they're fraudulent or semi-fraudulent, are the elderly. How is it that these two people are running and orchestrating, for the most part, a lot that's happening in guardianship in the state of Florida, and neither of them have even met a ward or gone to a guardianship proceeding. And that's the same for politicians. You can ask politicians who say that one of their
main goals
is concerning the elderly, and they've never, ever, ever been to a guardianship proceeding or met a ward of the state of Florida. It's really, it's very worrisome.
It's
very disheartening. I was always taught not to wish any bad on anybody, but it's almost like it's going to take that for them to, look at the issue. You know, this is an everyday issue we all probably talk about in our house. I know I do. Every day, all day, I'm talking about this. But for them, it's like, I saw you questioning, Governor DeSantis. I was like, he wanted to avoid you at all costs. And then his people, and you're being so polite. I mean, and it's like, are you kidding me? Just answer her and set up a meeting and answer some questions. Let us work with you.
And the governor verbatim said 2 years ago, there's no accountability in the guardianship system in Florida. 2 years later, nothing. And he says that he's for seniors first. But, everything is a photo op with a lot of these politicians. But
friends. Yeah, I've been there with the whole photo op thing. And, you just go and walk the other way. And everybody wants to, they're taking with them. Like they're doing such wonderful things. And I'm like, thanks. But, that's so important for them to, we're the ones that are actually voting these people in. People need to really start to look and who they are voting in. And that is going to be covered in the book that I'm writing. Because, before this, why should it take a trauma until you look at, I voted that judge in. No, don't wait. Look at their history. People need to start researching and look at what these people, they are public servants. They're supposed to be doing what's right for us. We, the people.
I found it from Reese. I found it to be lip service because with Senator Klobuchar in Minnesota, I've asked to talk to her. We have to escape. You didn't protect us in your state. We had to escape the country. I want to talk to the senator. And I was told, no, she doesn't have time. So, and one of the issues that she is very focused on is elder abuse.
Trust me.
That's
I've been out every single one of our legislators, and we had a great legislator. Oh, my God. Senator Laura Woods was amazing. She helped us so much in our families, and she wasn't voted back in. And I literally went into a deep depression, along with Senator Morgan Carroll. She went to the Democratic Party, a different part. But I tell you, when they both went voted in, I just went in. I was just like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I was so shocked. And she's still a Senator Laura Woods. She's an amazing woman. And, I told her that about Channel 7 News, and they interviewed her, I think. I'm not sure. I've got to go talk back to her. But you get some of these people in there, they're amazing. So hopefully I can find some really good people after this big news article, this big, huge thing that Channel 7 is doing for us. Now, next week, I want everybody
to saying a prayer for you.
I want everybody
again,
to tune in next week because I will have Channel 7 filming the radio show that I'll be doing, parts of it. He's going to come here at 6:30.
That's exciting. That's great.
And he's setting up all his camera equipment, and he's going to be taping us while we start the beginning of the radio show for next week. So that's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah. Well,
also, I wanted
just
to tell everybody
point,
another
you know,
thing.
Yeah.
I want to tell one more thing first. There is a case going on tomorrow, and I want to mention this. It's been 3 days already, and there's a big law firm out here that has taken advantage of a lot of these families. She went after one of the families
about a couple of years ago. I'm not sure exactly when, but she is being taken in for malfeasance. And the attorney that's going after her, her name is Jean Powers, and she's a prosecutor. And she didn't realize that her family was being taken by these people. And then she started looking at the book saying, oh, my God, I can't believe this is going on. So I really think this law firm might have messed with the wrong family. So this case has been going on for 3 weeks. And I have it advertised up on FACES, Families Against Court Embezzlement on Ethical Standards, FACES. I have it on Facebook right tomorrow where you can all of us can go on there and watch this come in to play, that this could be one of the biggest cases going on here in Colorado right now. So I'm going to be posting that on Facebook if I get a chance. Please join in. It's fascinating. Channel 7 News is going to be listening to that, I think, as well tomorrow. So it's going to be a big case going on. But there's a lot going on
that's
in Colorado.
And, you know, people need to pay attention to Michigan. Please pay attention to Michigan because Dana Nessel, Gretchen Rachel Hammond has been working endlessly and tirelessly with so many families down there and again wrote this brilliant article and you know Dana Nessel blocked her on Twitter because
I've heard that.
I mean she wants to work with her. She wants to work with her. You know, Gretchen did not know, she knew a little bit about this. She got down there, she could not believe it. It was horrific. Padlocked refrigerators, people getting McDonald's every couple of days. I mean, just so many stories. So take time, I'd like people to really get behind her because she's doing an excellent job down there, and she still is in communication with so many families. And, this is a journalist that, is now – it's really, affected her life. You know, she wants to make a difference and get this governor to make changes. But they won't let her in press conferences. So how do they say? They say they want to make it better, but they're not letting Gretchen in. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, just like when Hillary was asking DeSantis questions, he could have turned around and politely said, here's my card, or contact this person, and been a mensch, which in the Jewish religion is, a gentleman.
Right.
And said to her, look, you know what? I will make an appointment with you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Crazy.
I agree.
Crazy,
I agree with you guys.
We're not their enemies. We want to work with them and making it safer for not just our families, for their families, too.
Mm-hmm. We want to
work
together.
I'm going to try to get Gretchen back on our radio show. We have her in one of the 200 and some episodes of her talking about in Michigan how they had padlocked some refrigerators for the seniors out there. Can you imagine?
I mean, searching her before she would go into the courtroom. I mean, what she had to endure, following her, bullying her, trying to get her to get out of there.
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to try to get Gretchen Rachel Hammond back onto our radio show. We've got like 30 seconds left to our radio show. I want to just say thank you, Julie Belchy, for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Joanna?
Thank you for all that you do. And, I, again, am just 1,000,000% behind your radio show. You're raising the awareness, and this is what we need. We need people to listen to what could happen.
Exactly.
This is Robin. I actually co-host on the show. I thought I might introduce myself. I have a wide audience that is listening. And I hope that it grows more. Hopefully this exposure will help bring in a large audience because we really do need to reach the people with this. It can affect anyone at any time, and people need to realize that this is a real danger to everyone And and we have to band together to stop it, because it can happen to anyone. And, you know, your stories are not unique. These horror stories happen every single day to hundreds of thousands of people in our country and throughout the world. And we have got to take action to stop.
Yeah, we need
Robin,
a retroactive
right on.
Yeah. And Robin is a co-host, and for some reason he didn't jump in for a lot, but
well,
Robin has been a
crucial
co-host on here
show.
Along with Mark and along with Hillary Hogue. We've been doing really good with the radio shows lately. Robin, so why don't you go ahead and close up our radio show for us tonight?
All right. I want to thank all of our guests. This has been just an amazing exposition of what is really going on in our country. And I want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you very greatly. We love you dearly. We stand with you, whatever your situation is. We stand with those who are behind the walls of institutions that cannot escape from. And we love you. We honor you. And we are here for you. And hopefully we'll make some progress. Justice requires transparency and accountability, and there is none in the present system. So we've got to change this. I want us all to come together. I hope you can all make the symposium. That's going to be an outstanding exposition of what's going on. It's free for our listeners. So do you have the information to get people to that, Luann?
Yes. Yeah, it's at the Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardians.net. And that's AAAPG.net. We're going to have 24 highly experienced speakers that are going to be talking about this topic. And the tickets are free. You can get a hold of me or get a hold of Dr. Sam Sugar at the AAAPG.net. He has information on there. Or contact Luann on Messenger. And that's you contact
Thank
me,
you
Luann Fleming. I'm on Messenger. You can find me on Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards Face Us. You can reach Hillary Hogue if she is on Facebook. You can reach Robin Austin. He's on Facebook. Message any one of us. Also, send me an email.
You can reach, Case and Cares Foundation has it. Well, they have it posted. I have it posted. So, I think a lot of advocates
And say your phone number one more time, Julie, for the listeners.
The Case and Cares Foundation helpline is 949-872-0658.
Mm-hmm. We will make sure we get that phone
number. Thank you again for, all that you do, Luann. Keep up your great work. And Hillary, go get them in Florida. I love the videos. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you go get them.
And
Robin, you your work too, but you can email me at faceusradio, faceusradio@hotmail.com. I'll be glad to answer any of your questions about the symposium. That's faceusradio, faceusradio@hotmail.com. Anyway, our listeners and everybody, you're listening to Face Us Radio. We have Robin Austin with us. We have Hillary Hogue and Marcy Freeman. I am Luann Fleming, and this is called The Inside Scoop. And we are going to be letting everybody go. But remember to join us next week when we have Channel 7 right here with us, okay? So anyway, here we go. I'm going to play that NASGA commercial once again. That's the National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. You might also want to contact them as well if you're having issues, okay? That's NASGA. So here we go. Good night, everybody.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property?
Thank you.
Good night. Anyone in a court to have a person deemed incapacitated.
Good night, Luann.
What if that person is you?
Good night.
The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.